Today on Real Radio.
Is there anyone in this world, is there anyone in this community that needs your faith? They need you. That's true Christianity. That your walk would be so faith-filled, so active. And by doing that, and by choosing Christ, faith in Him alone determines our future.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, a feeling, give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. One of the essentials of our faith, and one of our great hopes as true believers in Jesus, is the promise of the Messiah's return. It's such a wonderful promise that our teacher delivers a series of presentations taken from Luke chapter 12 called When Jesus Christ Comes Again. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
It was a Saturday morning, and early in the morning, I had a cross-country flight to take for my pilot's license. I had not yet got my pilot's license. I was to fly to Palm Springs, and then to have someone sign my logbook and to fly back to John Wayne Airport in Orange County, and all get home early enough because it's my daughter's birthday, Rebecca's birthday. And so I did that, and it was a dual flight, which means my instructor's with you. He doesn't say anything. He just flies with you. Make sure you don't kill yourself. And so coming out of Palm Springs, there were some clouds forming through the Banning Pass. And I'll never forget this. He's a very calm man. He's a very elderly man, U.S. naval pilot. And he just said, "See those clouds right there?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "It's going to get very rough." Well, we're in a little airplane. And it was very smooth at the moment. Why should I care? It's very smooth. What could be the problem? And Palm Springs to here is not that far. What could be wrong? But he was reading the sky. Are you with me? He's reading the sky, and he says, "You see those clouds forming like that, those lenticular clouds? It's going to get very rough here pretty soon. Better hang on." He starts securing stuff in the cockpit of the plane. He starts putting his cup away in his bag. He starts, and I'm thinking, it looks, it's crystal clear out here, a little cloud. What's the big deal? Let me tell you something. We got hit by this turbulence, and when the plane shifted to the right, I took the yoke to the left, and it didn't do a thing. We were everywhere, upside down, stuff flying around the plane. If I wouldn't have been so busy working to keep that plane in the air, I would have been sicker than a dog or crying like a little baby. It was terrifying. And it's written in my logbook today about that day. And when we came through, it got as smooth as glass again. All along the time that it was so very rough, do you know what I kept calling to mind? His words just before it hit. It's gonna get rough. It'd get smooth on the other side of this. I kept my hope on the fact that this too shall pass. It's going to be rough. He warned me. It's going to be rough. I didn't believe him. After that, I believed him. Every word he said. Why? He warned me when there was no sign of it, at least to my eyes. The hope got me through. And on the other side of the disaster, I realized, you know what? God's word, because I was a believer at the time, God's word says that we're going to get through these things. Just like today, my instructor got me through these things. Jesus Christ is our instructor. And then also this, your faith and mine will be foundational because your faith produces. Real true faith produces. Verse 44, Jesus said, "Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has." faith, true faith, will be productive. John 15 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser, and every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. But every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes it, that it may bring forth more fruit. He goes on in verse 5 to say, I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Verse 16 of John chapter 15. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. True faith in the Lord God, foundational faith, will be productive. Point number two this morning, it is this. Your faith and my faith will become tested. You and I are living in a time of testing. This is a strong time of testing. How is that? Because real faith will be tested by time. I'm going to just ask you this question. How many of us have been Christians, say, for the last 10 years? Raise your hand. Have you seen friends, family, people that you know, professing believers, depart from the faith in those 10 years? I've been a Christian 30 years. It seems like the last 5 years have become the most dangerous years. People are getting involved in the silliest doctrines. People are departing from the Bible and going after what some crazy system is saying or doing. Why? Didn't the Bible say, didn't our instructor tell us that would happen? Didn't he warn us? He certainly did. Dangerous times. Why? Times are being, our faith is being tested by time. Will you mark that down? Real faith is being tested by time. But if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming. Oh, this is dangerous. Mark it well. And he begins to beat the male and female servants to eat and drink and to get drunk. Stop right there. This man didn't wake up one day, according to Jesus' parable. He didn't wake up one day and say, that's it, I'm going to go do all these things. He didn't start out like that. He wasn't always a violent man, a gluttonous man, a drunk. It says that he began to do those things. What did he once believe? That Jesus could come back or the master could come back at any time. But he said, if that servant, he's speaking now in a parabolic sense. Jesus in the story is like the master. The master's like Jesus. The master says, I'm going to come back. You wait and you be busy. And the servant says, listen, the servant says in his mind, I don't think he's coming back soon. Do you realize how critical this is? Do you believe that Satan could come into your life and begin to tempt you by thinking Jesus isn't going to come back for a while? I'm telling you that's true. Didn't we read it in our Bible reading this brand new year when Satan came to Eve? What did he say? He said, has God really said? Question the word of God. That's Satan's ploy. The Bible warns us that in the last days there will be those saying, where is the promise of his coming? The word means he promised to come, he didn't come. I don't think he's coming. Look, I believe he could come back today, but that's why I'm preparing for next year. I believe he could come back tomorrow, but that's why I'm preparing for the next 10 years. If I really believe he's coming back, I'm going to be very, very prepared and busy about our Father's business. That's how we need to be as a church. And so he got his eyes off of Christ. A very sad and very tragic thing. You say, well, Jack, wait a minute. Is the guy a believer or not a believer? That's a great question. Will you mark this down? Can someone who says they're a believer wind up giving up on hope and the word of God and quit walking with Christ and still be a believer? Let me answer that. In fact, let me have the Bible answer that. Jesus, in Luke chapter 8, verse 13, you know this parable. It's the parable of the sower and the seed. He goes out to throw seed, and he speaks about four different hearts that receive the word. Listen to what he said. Luke 8, 13, Jesus said, these are they who, when they hear the word of God, receive the word with joy, and these have no root in themselves, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation, they fall away. That chapter of Luke 8 and Matthew 13 teaches clearly that there are those who hear the word of God, some reject it immediately, some over time reject it. There's only one person in that group that is one that's saved, and it's the person that bears fruit. You can read Matthew 13 later. This is critical. There's a lot of people walking around today, and frankly, there some people are very, very hurt and afflicted and insecure because they don't understand this. And then there are people who are just so self-righteous about it, and they may be the ones missing heaven altogether. Do you have faith in what Jesus Christ did for you and I on the cross? Is that your entrance into heaven? If your answer to that is, yes, I have faith in Jesus Christ, then praise the Lord. Are you born again? Yes, I'm born again. I had a change in my life. Then if that happened, my friend, you are going to make it. God will see to it. But if you say one thing on Sunday about believing, and the rest of the week your life is no different than unbelievers, and God has a very, very small presence or footprint in your life, that's a dangerous place to live. Jesus said, warning, as a good instructor, there'll be those that believe for a while, but when temptation comes, they fall away. In fact, this is exactly who that person is. Get your pen ready. This is one of the most questioned portions of the Bible of today in our age. Hebrews 6, verses 4 through 6. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 through 6 says, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened," that is, they became aware of the truth. They heard the gospel. They believed in the gospel. "And tasted of the heavenly gift." They saw the Holy Spirit work. They heard the good news. They can quote to you John 3:16 and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit. They may have been involved in service, in ministry, and have tasted of the good word of God and the powers of the age to come. Verse 6, "If they fall away," that doesn't mean backslide. Christians have backslidden. They need to repent and come back. This is a falling away, a departure. Exactly what Jesus was speaking about in Luke 8:13. He says, "If they fall away, to renew them again to repentance," meaning that's impossible, "since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame." Wow, is that a person losing their salvation? Not at all, my friend. It's a person who never had salvation. They came to church, they lifted their hands, they looked just like you and I, but it never, never went from belief to faith. And the Bible warns us that in the last days, are you with me? Everybody okay? Matthew chapter 7, read it, verses 20 to 22. Jesus said, "In the last days, before the judgment, there will be those who will come to him and say, 'Lord, Lord, did we not cast out demons in your name and do many great miracles in your name?' And what does Jesus say to them? 'Depart from me, I never knew you.'" Wow. See, Jack, you're scaring me to death here. It shouldn't scare you. A born-again believer, that is a person who knows that the Holy Spirit has changed their life this morning, they're sitting there saying, "Wow, thank you, God. Lord, whew. I'm glad I have faith in Christ. Thank you, Lord. Strengthen that faith evermore." To the person who's got one foot in the world and one foot in the church, who lives one life on Sunday and a different life on Monday, that person is probably hearing from the Holy Spirit right now saying, "You better set this straight." And by the grace of God, that you would do that. Your faith and mine will become tested. Real faith will be tested by apathy. Apathy. I have to tell you, this is what terrifies me. Apathy. Apathy is like a gas that floats, as it were, throughout the life of the professing church. Apathy. Jesus is the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, in an hour when he's not aware, and he will cut him in two or cut him asunder and appoint him his portion. Jesus said when that master of the property and of his slaves come back and things have not been done, he's going to be upset about that. Apathy. Why? Apathy kills people. Apathy destroys. The dangerous thing about apathy is that apathy doesn't care. When someone, even right now, this is a warning to you, God might be saying, apathy. The person who's bound by apathy says, "I don't care." You're sinking, and you want it that way. Real faith will be tested by apathy, not only by time, but by apathy. Noah Webster, defines apathy as a lack of feeling, a privation of passion, being insensible to pain, excitement, or pleasure, incapable of being affected, having no care or concern. Apathy. that you don't care. Matthew 13, 15, Jesus says, for this people, their hearts have waxed gross and their ears have become dull of hearing. Apathetic. It's very tragic. It's very scary. Paul the Apostle warned of the same in Hebrews 5, 11. The scripture there warns that concerning Jesus Christ and the teaching of the gospel and all these things that are spoken of concerning him and things that are difficult, hard to understand, he says, but you've become dull of hearing. And so we want to ward off that and be careful against that, that when Jesus Christ comes again, our faith is healthy and active. And then third and final point this morning, verses 47 to 48, your faith will become all important. All important. Your faith will become important, my friend, enough to save your soul. Important enough to save your soul. And that servant, verse 47, who knew his master's will. Stop right there for a second. That's a comma, but stop right there. When we know what the Word of God says, and we don't do that thing, or, listen, in the negative, if God's Word says, don't do this, and we go and do that thing. If you know that, listen to what he says. And that person did not prepare himself or do according to his master's will, he shall be beaten with many stripes. You say, wait a minute, Jesus is going to beat me? No, you can only take a parable so far. He's talking about when that earthly master comes back and finds his earthly servants, they're going to be disciplined. What's the analogy? What's the connection? Jesus is saying that it is, church, are you listening? Are you guys awake? Jesus is saying, just like when the master comes back and he's upset for those who are not diligent, he's saying, when I come back, those who know me and are obedient and believe in me, have faith in me, they're going to be doing the right stuff. They're going to be doing the right thing. They're going to be ready. To those who are playing games, they're not going to be ready. And they're going to suffer for that. They're going to have a loss for that. But you've heard the gospel. And the urgency today is, if you've heard the gospel and you're not yet a Christian, you need to become a Christian today. Not delay. Why would you delay? Why would you delay? My goodness, did you see what happened yesterday in this town with the floods, with the downpour of rain? Two people in one vehicle. The flash flood hit and swept the one young man away, and the woman couldn't get out of the vehicle and was killed yesterday, right here. Did you know that there are supposedly, from what we're hearing from the reports, that there were warning signs, that there are barricades, but someone ahead of them, from what we're hearing, don't know if it's true or not, but someone ahead of them moved the barricades so they could get through while the water wasn't so high. So that person, that couple, they were driving along, went right on because the barricades, the warnings were off to the side and they were swept away. One saved, one is now in eternity this morning. They had no idea. Suddenly it came and they were taken away. You don't want to be living like that. Are you ready to meet the Lord Jesus? Your faith, if used properly, will open doors and opportunities, my friend, to share Jesus Christ and his word in places that you'll never imagine. Romans 1:16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. That is, stand bold in the face of opposition or in the face of hostile settings. For it is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and for the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. I want you guys, now before you cue this clip, get the clip ready, but listen to this. Maybe you saw this happen on TV, but Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, meaning the word is to stand in front of the world and to not be ashamed, to not cower back. Can you imagine the pressure in front of an audience, hostile audience? And you're going to declare Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Or you're going to declare that you believe in the Word of God. Faith. Cue the clip of this presidential debate. Watch faith in action here.
Governor Huckabee, at a previous debate, you and two of your colleagues indicated that you do not believe in evolution. You're an ordained minister. What do you believe? Is it the story of creation as it is reported in the Bible or described in the Bible?
It's interesting that question would even be asked of somebody running for president. I'm not planning on writing the curriculum for an eighth grade science book. I'm asking for the opportunity to be president of the United States. But you've raised the question, so let me answer it. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. To me, it's pretty simple. A person either believes that God created this process or believes that it was an accident and that it just happened all on its own. And the basic question was an unfair question because it simply asked us in this simplistic manner whether or not we believed, in my view, whether there's a God or not. Well, let me be very clear. I believe there is a God. I believe there's a God who is active in the creation process. Now, how did he do it, and when did he do it, and how long did he take? I don't honestly know. And I don't think knowing that would make me a better or a worse president. But I'll tell you what I can tell this country. If they want a president who doesn't believe in God, there's probably plenty of choices. But if I'm selected as president of this country, they'll have one who believes in those words that God did create. And as the words of Martin Luther, here I stand, I can do no other. And I will not take that back.
That is faith in action. Can you imagine the pressure to compromise, to water down that answer in front of national TV and you're running for president? He not only stood on the Word of God, quoted the Word of God, but he said, I'm not going to take it back. And I love that. And you say, well, you know, wow, that's, you know, if I was running for president, I would say that. Hey, you know what? Listen, you may never run for president, but you and I are still supposed to be saying that. And that's faith in action. And then we end with this. Important enough to determine your future. Listen, your faith and my faith will become important enough to determine our future in the end. Verse 48, but he who did not know and yet committed things deserving of stripes shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required, and to him much has been committed. They will ask of the more. This is very important, church. As we wrap this up, it is absolutely vital that you understand something. Is your faith alive, active? I'm going to read you one final verse. You can close your Bible. We're all done. In Titus 2:11, wraps up this entire teaching this morning in a few verses. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all mankind, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a mini-series called When Jesus Christ Comes Again. It's actually a two-part study taken from Luke chapter 12 and verses 35 through 40, part of our journey through this fascinating New Testament narrative, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, because the fall semester is upon us, and we recently presented Pastor Jack's Being a Christian While on Campus, we've decided to go ahead and continue offering that on DVD, and in fact, we've gotten quite the response, so we're extending the offer. For your tax-deductible contribution to the outreach of Real Radio, of any amount, we'll send you the double DVD series, Being a Christian While on Campus. More than one way to get in touch, beginning with our website, you can visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our number is toll-free, 877 RR Radio, 877-RR Radio. If you'd like to do things the traditional way, here's our mailing address. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous participation of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ. and in His Word.
Inside, You shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.